This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ow. Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy Wince-Free Whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for two shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White. A whiter smile without the wince.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back. It is Jay Scott, and it is The Hook Rocks, the ultimate rock community podcast. Always appreciate when you tune in and listen to us. Thank you very much. Don't forget to write us a review when you're done listening. We do appreciate the feedback. We are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, a great network of music-related podcasts, including the official Metallica podcast, The Metallica Report. You can find a whole bunch of music-related podcasts on Pantheon Podcast .com, as well as on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pantheon Pods. And you can do the same with The Hook Rocks and all three of those platforms. Just search up The Hook Rocks. Don't forget to set your app to automatic download so you get the latest episode right to your phone and you get to enjoy some of the previous ones we've done. We've had an amazing start to the year. We've interviewed Joe Satriani, Stephen Piercy, Scott Holiday of Rival Sons, The Gems, Starbenders, Tuck Smith, and so many more. So please check out all those great episodes. We've got another return guest today, a guest that I think is one of the best live acts in rock music today. Had the pleasure of seeing her last year at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois. She was absolutely amazing, blew me away. And that guest is Orianthi. What's happening? How are you?
Hello. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I had a blast. We had a blast playing that venue. We've played it a few times now, and it's always so wonderful, and the audience is so like great, the vibes. So yeah, I just have good memories there, and I'm so glad you enjoyed the show.
It was absolutely amazing. That was the show that you played with Pete Dankelson.
Oh yes, Pete, he's so great. Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic. But I was so amazed because, and we're going to get into this more with the new single, but what impressed me the most was your versatility, and you can play anything.
Oh, thank you. I love all different types of music. I really do. I'm a big fan of, you know, blues, pop, country, rock, all of that. So I like to keep it like a pretty much a variety show, but predominantly blues, kind of blues rock.
Yes, it definitely has a blues feel, but I mean, every song that you played and everything you did, you know, I was with some friends of mine and we were just absolutely amazed, like incredible performance, incredible atmosphere in the venue. The venue was pretty much near capacity or at capacity, and it was just a great time. And I walked out of there going, she's one of the best live acts that I've seen in years.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. It really does. I mean, I've been performing since I was like, God, 7 years old at school, you know, and I love performing. I love, you know, my band. I love, you know, just that whole thing where, you know, it's the audience, everyone just having a good time and escaping reality for a few hours.
Absolutely. How do you plan out a show? Because you're so versatile with your playing and you've got so many types of music that you've played to draw from, how do you determine your set list?
It changes a lot. Sometimes I keep it the same, but, you know, switch it up a bit so it keeps it interesting for people that, you know, are coming to two shows in a row or just for myself and the band. Really, you know, it's sort of catering to the audience as well and who we're playing to, and that's really important to know. Like, you know, sometimes we play, like, whether it be, you know, they see the shows, or we play like the rock festivals or the blues fest, or we play like, you know, private show or whatever it is. And you kind of, for me, you want to make sure that you're catering to, because you're serving people ultimately, you know, as an entertainer, as a performer. You're not just playing for yourself, but at the same time, it's just, yeah, making sure that it's really fitting. And as you're saying, like, there's a lot of variety going on. We could start the show with heaviness, or we could start it with blues, or we could start it with, you know, like this guitar intro, kind of instrumental, you know, and or acoustic. I play a lot of acoustic shows too. So growing up and having, you know, so many different influences from, you know, Carlos Santana to Eric Clapton to, you know, country music too, Johnny Cash, and then Elvis Presley, the Beatles, and all of that. I mean, you know, it all just comes down to songs and how you sort of mix them up and present them to people, and how you want people to feel at the end as well.
What do you enjoy playing the most in terms of style, in terms of the type of music?
I've been playing blues rock for a while, but blues rock Americana kind of vibe. It's kind of country almost bordering, but that's kind of what I'm doing right now. And you know, with First Time Blues just came out, that's kind of the new direction. It's sort of bluesy. Some people think it's country as well, pop. It's weird. And rock, it's like a blend of everything, but it's a sound. And the next song we're cutting tomorrow, which I'm really excited about, it's called Ghost, and I've got, you know, Michael Bearden coming in. He's a dear friend of mine, and he works with Lady Gaga, Michael Jackson, tons of people. And we're in the studio with a gospel choir doing a track, and I'm producing it again. And you know, it's been really wonderful being able to produce my own music again. It really is a great feeling. You know, I did my first record that came out through Universal myself, and played every instrument on it. And, you know, it's kind of a thing where, when you know, when you can hear it in your head, you want it to kind of come out that way. And when it does, it's very fulfilling, you know, as an artist to have that, you know, painting come to life that was sonically, you know, and everything. And you know, I've worked with a lot of different people, and sometimes it doesn't turn out that way, you know, and you're not satisfied, you know, as an artist, because, you know, you work with somebody and producers, and they don't really get it the same way you do, because not everyone's the same, you know, with their vision. You know, you got two people with paintbrushes, you know what I mean? And that's kind of can get a bit messy. Sometimes it works out beautifully, but this time I just wanted to really make it just flow a certain way and be really honest. And it's been received, I think, with the comments really well. Like, you know, even to prior songs I put out, people are like, oh, this really feels like I can hear you as an artist. And I'm like, well, thank you. That means a lot, because this is who I am. This is what I'm. We go in three takes, two takes, live. I cut the vocals a couple of times, no auto tune, nothing. Like, I haven't used. Everything's very organic, you know. It's not like, it's pretty old school working out of Robbie Krieger's studio as well. Like, that has been wonderful having his energy there too, because such a Doors fan, and it's an honor. And I just feel the comfortability factor for, I think, everyone there, all the musicians, myself, and closing the door and just feeling like we're just going on a feeling, and it feels comfortable. It's friends. That's everything.
Well, with your music, you do an incredible job of straddling different genres in terms of doing it all very well and combining it together. And there's not many artists that can do that. A lot of artists get put into a box and they confine themselves to that box, and it's very hard for them to get out of it. Whereas you are kind of limitless, where you can do certain things. I mentioned your versatility at the beginning of the conversation. And I think that's what really is impressive about you, is that you do everything phenomenal and great, and you can also go in and out of different genres. And you mentioned the new song being blues. I hear more blues than anything. It does have a bit of a Americana pop feel to it, but I don't think it takes away from the essence of what you're trying to do.
Oh, no, and thank you. I think it's kind of, you know, that riff I actually wrote on this guitar that I have, it's like an 1800s parlor, you know, and I had this, it's very Robert Johnson sounding. And I think that, you know, that Delta blues sort of vibe. And then when I put it through the champ at the beginning of the song, and then in my little, like, my old vintage champ, and then blast it through my orange amp and everything, and made it sound bigger. And it, I like sitting with my acoustic guitars and sort of writing and everything. And it's kind of Delta blues based, a lot of the stuff too, because that sort of stuff I play at nighttime when I'm, you know, sitting around on my couch, you know, with my cat or whatever. I just like to play that. And some riffs come to me and I put them down on my iPhone or whatever. And then the song will come, the lyric will come later too. And then you sort of marry them together, and or they come both at once. And, you know, it really depends. But I love writing. I've been writing songs since I was six or seven years old. And I think of myself more of a songwriter than I am a guitar player. I've been writing a lot for other people too. And I love producing. And yeah, I love a good pop song too. I love, as I said, writing for other people instead of myself. And because stories, what people connect with is not only music, you know, with the guitar playing and everything. And it's also lyrics. It's a comfort in that. It's also therapy. It's something that I think is really, really important.
You mentioned the Delta blues. You listen to that a lot. Is it primarily that when you go into, you know, your direction with blues? Do you listen to any Chicago blues? What are some of the artists that you listen to?
Well, I love, you know, obviously Buddy Guy. I love Howling Wolf. I love Albert King, Robert Johnson. My dad, he showed me, I think I was like 15 years old, 16, and he gave me this like whole CD set of Robert Johnson to listen to. He goes, listen to this guy. It sounds like two guitar players playing at once. And just the haunting sound of Robert really hit me. I don't know, something very wild about it. And also, I don't know, I just resonated with it. I don't know why. Even when I was really young, I just took to the blues because, not victim blues, but kind of, you know, I didn't have the easiest kind of childhood in the sense of, like, I was at school, it was really tough for me. I was bullied. I went through a lot of crap. I had a reason to sing the blues. It wasn't like, I'm going to, you know, pretend. I was feeling down a lot. You know, I tried to like fit in, but didn't, you know? And so the guitar for me and music was something that helped me a lot. And so expressing myself through that, I just connected very much so with that genre. You know, I don't carry it now. You know, I think the blues, the way I play it now is like, you know, I've been through this, but I'm on the other side kind of vibe. You know, it's like B.B. King. When I saw him perform, he would always be dancing and smiling and, like, you know, the Phyllis Con or whatever he's singing. And he, but it was like, you know what? It happened to me, but I'm still happy. I'm living my life. And that's kind of, it's not victim blues. It's not, that's not what I'm wanting to do, the down and out. It's like, hey, I went through this shit, but I'm stronger now. And that's kind of, for me, giving people that sort of strength too in the lyric. That's important.
Is it important to you to speak about this stuff? I don't know if you've ever spoken about, you know, your childhood in the way that you just have. Is it important for you to, you know, have that voice in your music?
Yeah, and I've spoken about it quite a bit, actually. But, you know, I think that, you know, I've been through a lot of different things, especially being in this industry, you know, at such a young age. I quit school when I was 14 and, you know, I had management back then and I was working professionally and then got a record deal when I was like 19, 20 and moved to America by myself, Interscope Records. And I went through a lot of crazy times, you know, a lot of things I learned. I was treated well and treated really badly by a lot of people. And you kind of get used, you get, you know, there's people around you that aren't your friends, you know, they're there because of the money you're making, the, you know, the things they can, you know, get from you, and learning all of that, that gives you the blues. You know, it's like, you know, you think someone's hanging out with you because they want to hang out with you, but they're really there because they're getting into all these like cool events or getting to do all this stuff, and I'm paying for everything. So it's kind of like a thing where you learn really fast and then you have to be strong about it and not take it personally, and then still love, you know, still have an open heart. That's the thing, to be vulnerable, to still have an open heart and open mind after you've been hurt many times, that takes a lot. And I think in music, that's how I write as well. Like when I write my lyrics, I'm very mindful. Our minds are so powerful. What we, you know, words are like a spell, you know, words are very powerful. And everything that you put out into the universe is manifesting something. So you have to be very mindful about it all and how you are. And, you know, if I'm going to play a song coming from a dark place, I'm going to play a song coming from a light place after that. So it balances it out, because it's all about balance.
I've always found music because people have a tough time expressing themselves. A lot of people do. Some people have no problem doing it. And for those that are trying to communicate what they're feeling, they use music, they use a song as their voice, as a way to tell people how they feel. And I think it's just an amazing connection an audience has with a musician as an artist like yourself, who may not be able to find the words that they're trying to say and verbalize, but find your song, find your music in a way to communicate with others.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, getting messages from people saying, you know, your song really helped me today. That really helped me through the day. Or the heavier ones, your song saved my life. You know, I heard the song Courage, which I put out quite some time ago, that saved my life, or some other tracks I've written, or I've been through that, you know, and thank you for putting it in a song, you know, a lyric that I really resonated with. And that was my story as well, very similar. And you seem to be doing okay, so thank you, you know, and I feel the strength from that. And that, you know, it takes a lot to put things into songs, like really honestly, and not be afraid of that, and not blaming people and just going, hey, I went through this, but like, this is my story. And this is the pain that I felt, but like, it's not, as I said, in a victim way, it's like, hey, this is what I went through. And if you're going through it as well, it's okay. Like, it's kind of a diary entry, and there's another page. You're going to turn the page the next day and write another one, right? It's just a lot of things that you learn, and I've learned pretty fast. And it's funny because when I was like much younger, I had this outlook and I lost it. I got caught up in the whole kind of craziness of major labels and things and flashy things and people and situations and weirdness. And, you know, you lose your mind sometimes, and then you got to find it again and get back to yourself. And, you know, I work with healers. I work with lots of different people. I check in, and centering yourself is everything. And just being mindful of your energy and who you keep around you, the company you keep and the people, and having a few really close friends that you can really talk to and hang out with, and that they're there for the right reasons, but they also help and inspire you and in different ways, you know, and hope to help inspire them as well. And it's a give and take thing. So it's all about balance. And I'm trying to find that now in my life. It's taken a long time, and not to take things personally, and trying to make better decisions and being that voice. And even on my Instagram, and that I do use it to promote positivity and just fun things and keep it, you know, pretty light. So, you know, I think moving forward with my career and where I'm going, there's a lot of songs I want to write. There's a lot of records I want to make. I'm doing a side project now too, I'm very excited about. And we played our first show, and we're playing another show coming up at the Hard Rock in Vegas next week. And you know, with Cindy Blackman Santana and Wanda Smith, and we're doing that's really exciting too. And so I'm focusing on two things right now, my own career, experimenting with the side project too, and writing songs with them, and, you know, just creating, you know, just this path of music, which is hopefully going to inspire people in different ways.
You mentioned a lot right there. You mentioned about the craziness. You mentioned about your childhood. What's really interesting about what you're writing about and what we spoke about people finding lyrics that they can communicate with and the song that they can express how they're feeling. You come from the other side, which means when you write, you are writing what you're feeling. Do you find it easier for yourself to communicate in a song rather than in a conversation?
Sometimes, depending on the day, you know. I think communicating, putting it in a song for me is much easier, because the funny thing is, it's like how people receive it. You know, I've always found this thing is like, you could express how you feel to somebody and they're not going to receive it, you know, the way that you'd like them to. But in a song, you can be completely honest and write how you feel, right? And people can interpret any way. You're not directing it towards one person. And there's people that are going to resonate with it or not. But yeah, I think putting it in a song is far easier, because yeah, it's just kind of you're putting it out to the universe, and the people that understand it do, and the people that don't. And it's better than just having a conversation sometimes with people how you feel. And for me, like I feel things very deeply sometimes, and then sometimes I don't, you know, it depends. It's really weird because especially if I'm in work mode or whatever, you know, there's time for reflection and everything. And how should I put it? Like when you've gone through so many different situations, and I've gone through a lot of ups and downs and 0 to 100 in my life and career. And, you know, so I take everything not as personally, you know, the good stuff and the bad stuff. I just go, hey, it's right in the middle. And only for myself, I can control like how I react to things. You can find inner peace within a storm. And that's how I found in this industry, like people that come at me all the time, it's like the static energy of, for me, it's about being calm and being centered and knowing who you are, knowing what you want. And a lot of people don't know. A lot of people have no idea what they want or who they are. They're just trying to get ahead or do something or try to, you know, be famous, or you see it all over like social media these days. And it's like, if you know who you are, you have a sense of self, and that is everything. It's not ego. It's peace. It's finding inner peace, you know?
What's it like working with Joe Bonamassa?
He's a dear friend. You know, I've known him for a long time, and what an incredible guitar player, great person. We actually recorded together quite some time ago, another song actually. And then that song never came out. And then we were talking on the phone, I don't know, just chatting about random stuff. And I said, hey, I'm actually going to be going to Robbie Krieger's studio, cutting the song First Time Blues, again. And he goes, oh, cool. And I said, hey, I'd love to have you, you know, on a track. And he goes, well, I'm actually free. So how about I come down and play on it when you're recording? I'm like, tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. Just get me a Diet Coke. So that's what happened. Then he popped by and did like a solo, and that was it. You know, he just, he's such a sweet person to come and do that, you know, getting off the big arena tour and everything. When you find those musicians that are just live for music, they're excited about it, like kids, you know, and we're just all big kids. And he loves music so much and loves guitars. And it was really an honor to have him on the track. And he burned through that solo. It was great.
Is there more collaboration that you want to do with other artists as you kind of move into this bluesy direction that you're going to go into?
Well, I mean, as I said, I've always kind of done bluesy stuff since day one. You know, my first record, Violet Journey, was pretty bluesy. And the record I made with Dave Stewart was really bluesy, and Heaven is Hell and all of that. But I think, yeah, there's some collaborations I really want to, there's some people I really want to collaborate with for sure. And that's coming. And I don't know, this next track, I may have somebody on it, may not. And then maybe the next track after that, I will. And I was talking to some of my friends that are really amazing. And hopefully if they're down and the timing works out, then perfect. Yeah.
The single you're going to cut tomorrow, is this leading up to an album, or is it just going to be singles that you're going to release?
I'm putting out a song at a time. And at the end of the year, there will be a full record. Yeah. So we're going to put them all out, and then I'll probably record a bunch of others and some alternative versions, some acoustic songs, and then make it a full record with some bonus tracks at the end, so people can, you know, have the whole record. But I just feel like doing a song at a time right now. I don't feel like going in and making a full record, because I've done that, you know, about 9 times now with full records. And I have more excitement over doing one song at a time and making it great.
As far as with the music, you know, you mentioned earlier in the conversation about coming to this point again, even though you've done music like this before, you kind of went away for it a while. You did some other styles of music and you came back to this. Is this, out of all the music you've done, is this kind of your comfort zone where you want to be, your sweet spot?
It is, because it's very honest, you know, it's where I'm at right now, you know, and I think self-producing it, is very gratifying, because, you know, there's, yeah, I've got people around that I'm playing it to, and that, you know, they're either, and I can see on their face they're getting into it or not, but it's how I feel about it as well. But I mean, ultimately, it just feels really comfortable right now for me. And, I don't know, it's, as I said, it's where I'm at right now. Things can change, you know, how I feel next month or the month after. And I may bring in, you know, another producer, and probably, you know, I love Kevin Shirley. We're talking about him producing a few tracks in the future as well. big fan of what he does. He's been mixing it actually, and he's just a monster. He's amazing, and what a great guy too. So there's people I feel comfortable with, you know, that's it really.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mental health.
With the music that you're doing and writing and, you know, cutting a track, is that just indicative the way you see the industry now? I mean, obviously albums are very difficult to get traction on because of the attention span of audiences and, you know, doing a single every few weeks or every month, the rate that you want to put the music out. You mentioned that you want to make one song the best and release that. When you do an album, because the quote unquote payoff may not be what you want on a full length, the payoff might be better with a single, not in terms of money, but just in terms of audience and attention for it. Is that what you're, why you're doing this?
I haven't done this before, so I wanted to do it this way, you know, and I also, my attention, the anxiety I get sometimes when I have a full record to make every song the way I want it in the short period of time frame that you get, you know what I mean? Making a whole record. I prefer to tackle one song at a time right now to really get it right, you know, and not think, oh my God, I got to get another song down tomorrow. I've got, you know what I mean? That sort of vibe, right? It's kind of, let's just make this the best it can be for now. And then, you know, get it mixed, put it out and do the next one. That's kind of, I like it. I like that right now. I don't know. I'm just digging it. I'm digging that vibe. And, maybe next year or, soon I'll make a full record. At once, because I love doing that too when I'm in the mood for doing that. But right now, this feels right, you know.
How have you evolved as a guitar player?
You know, getting, I don't know, I'm always changing because the guitar's, for me, it's never the most, you know, easiest thing to play, and I play it differently every day. I really do, and every performance is different too. How I'm feeling, and it's I look at a guitar, and I look at it like, it's so magical, you know, and I've never stopped learning, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. So I think how I've evolved is like, I don't know, just spent, you get close to something, you get closer to it, you know, with every year that passes. I've been playing since I was 6 years old, and it becomes part of you, but you're still learning things and expressing yourself differently. So, you know, I don't look as playing guitar as a competition, and people that play a bazillion notes, so look how fast I can play, look how amazing. That's awesome. I love it. But for me, it's like, how do I express myself differently? How do I, you know, just kind of come up with different tones and sounds and things. And, you know, it's when people listen to my records, they can tell like what different phases I'm going through and stuff like that, and experimenting with tones. And yeah, it's, and even the way I play, and just, it's interesting for me. It's like, it's endless possibilities for the guitar, really.
Are you still chasing a tone? Are you still chasing a sound, or have you settled on what Orianthi sounds like?
I know my sound. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I spent like a year and a half on my signature amplifier that's coming out through Orange, and we spent, you know, some time on that, and I'm really excited. So, you know, having your own signature amplifier that literally plug into and is exactly what you want, you know? My tone is kind of, I mean, I'm a big Santana fan, of course, grew up, you know, he's my first influence. So I would say it's kind of a combination of sort of, you know, that sort of, you know, the sweet kind of tone of Carlos, but also a bit more distorted. And I love Gary Moore, and I love, you know, Stevie Ray. So it's sort of and Jimi Hendrix. So it's kind of like this combination of just finding your own fingerprint, you know, and I like a lot of reverb. So I like to think, and a lot of my fans and people that write to me say, like, I know that's you, you know, and that means a lot, because it's like, you know, I like to think I have my own tone for sure.
When you are writing a song and you have an idea, do you hear the lyrics? Do you hear a tone? Do you hear a melody first? What comes to you when you're creating?
It's different every time. Different. You know, I could come up with a riff first, a title first, lyrics late at night. I'm just humming to my phone. My phone has like thousands of ideas on it, and you know, it's always like, do I get to finishing them? Do I forget about them? I find them going, oh wow, that's a pretty good start to something. I should finish that, you know. It's always different, which is always very cool. So there's no set way on how to, you know, for me, how I write a song. And you know, I've done the whole Nashville thing, I've done the whole pop writing thing where everyone's very corporate about it. And that's cool. But I like to write. I think the best songs come when it's not that way, you know.
How is that pop writing experience? I've heard a lot of artists talk about it, that it doesn't allow a lot of your own personality in it. It's pretty much, like you said, corporate.
It's a business, yeah. That's a music business. I don't like the music business, you know. I like music. But I'll do it, you know, and I like a good pop song. And sometimes I'll have a great chorus or something I bring in and it turns into a great song, or, you know, you work with these hit songwriters and it's something great. And maybe it's for somebody else, you know, and you know, I'm up for that sometimes if I'm in that mode, you know. But if I'm writing with a way that I really, truly love to write, that's not that way, you know. But it's, you know, having like 10 people in a room, you know, shooting out lyrics and saying, this is great, this is a hit. Oh my God, we got a hit song. No, that could be better. We could do that. It's quite something, you know. It's like, it's weird. I don't even know. It's weird. It's so, I don't know how to even describe it. I don't like it. but sometimes I do like it. Like if I'm working with someone like Desmond Child, that's an honor. I love working with Desmond and, you know, writers like that. They're hit writers, but they allow you to be yourself and they bring in big choruses and they hone it in, and it's different. But if I'm working with a bunch of young kids, which with computers and pop beats, and they're like, you know, 20 year olds or 18 year olds, and they're coming in with all these lyrics and the way they sing, I'm going, I have no idea what's going on right now. So, you know, and they're like, you know, writing from a certain place, and that's cool, but I'm not 20 anymore, and that's great. And I, you know, it's a thing where I appreciate that kind of music, but it's not where I'm at.
I was talking to another individual musician a few years ago about those writing sessions in Nashville, and he got invited to one, and he brings his guitar, he gets his guitar out, and he turns around. He's the only one holding an instrument, and there's a beats guy holding a laptop computer, and everyone's got their computers out, and they're not playing the instruments. They're just putting the melodies on a computer, on a program. And it was so foreign to him, because when he writes a song, he writes it with a guitar or a piano or however he does it. And it was really weird for him to get out of that mode, because there really is, when you're writing like that, there's a lack of personal connection, and you've got to turn that off when you go into those sessions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's weird. I mean, I've done that. I did a whole hip hop record. I did one with all these beats with these kids, with these like chains and Dobermans, and was really weird rappers and stuff like that, and computers. And that just, yeah, made me feel very uneasy and bizarre. And everyone's chasing something. Sometimes they're just chasing ghosts, you know, because they don't know what they're chasing. They just want to be famous. They want to have a hit song. They're writing songs for other people, but they're not sure who they are or what they're writing about, you know. They think they're trying to write things that they think other people want to hear. They're not writing for themselves. I think when you write for yourself, and it's not being a selfish way, but you're saying, this is my story, this is how I feel, and you're going on a feeling, and it makes you, and you move yourself first, then other people might be moved, you know. But I think when you're, you know, I've been to a lot of sessions and work with these kids, and they're not successful, you know, they're not doing well, because they're just chasing something that they don't know what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, oh, this is upbeat. We're going, you know, with this lyric and this beat and everything that's going on right now. They're not being creative. They're not paving their own way. I think that when you pave your own way and you come up with your own sound and your own thing, then other people want to follow that. But you can't follow other people. You know, it's kind of like, be an innovator, be original. You know, we've all got our own fingerprints, and we're not put on this planet to be clones of each other, you know, musically or without anything in life. We're all so different. And I think trying to fit into a box, and pop music these days is pretty much that. But I mean, there's things that come out that are really cool and different and that I dig. And especially if the lyric is very, you know, emotional or something, and I go, that's a great lyric, you know, and I'm a fan of that. You know, when I hear an artist who does a great pop song, but the lyric is really personal and you can see they really connected to it, that means something and that connects with people. But these foofy kind of pop songs, when, you know, you're surrounded by 10 or 5 writers that are all like, you know, typing away on their laptops thinking they're coming up with the most genius lyric ever, and it makes no sense. There's no depth to it. You know, it doesn't mean anything. You know, they didn't go through that shit. They're just writing it thinking, oh, I'm going to write a story. You know what I'm saying? It's really weird. It's manufactured. It's not real. And I'm after real, you know.
It's almost like they're chasing that algorithm of sound that,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm, that has a certain beats and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of why pop music today and a lot of music sounds the same, because everybody's chasing those same algorithms to, you know, what they call like the earworm in your brain. And like you said, there's no originality to it. It's like you have influences. Orianthe has influences that you draw from when you're creating. And when you're going, yeah, in a session like that, you're not drawing from anything. You're just drawing from whatever it is that, you know, like a program. So more or less.
Absolutely. And it's really sad sometimes. And I got really depressed actually working in that environment. And I made two records actually, full of pop songs, full of hip hop songs. And I listened to other people and I wasted probably a year of my life doing that, honestly, or a couple of years of my life. And then it was very empty, I felt, at the end of the session. And it was like, I mean, I don't know. It's like these kids are like 20 years old and over life. I'm like, I'm excited. I feel like I'm, you know, 15 and just beginning, you know, every day. And I have a lot of gratitude for everything that's come into my life, whether I worked hard for it or it's come to me out of just, you know, just luck or the universe, you know, and everything. I just feel like you have to have a sense of gratitude. Some of these kids don't, you know, which really annoys me. They have a sense of entitlement as well, where it's kind of like, I should be getting this. I should be. No. You know, no one should be getting anything. You're grateful. You work hard. Being successful in this business, it's like any success really is like winning the lottery in a way, because there's so many people that are going after the same thing. So being able to, you know, do this for a living for me is honestly a blessing. I work very hard. I've got to make decisions every day, you know, with the people around me, things going on, you know, this stuff that's put in front of me constantly. But, you know, I'm the boss, and that's the way I like it now. And I have people that work with me that are a team, and it's great. It's working really well now, but it's making a lot of changes. It's things that resonate with you, and it's kind of not taking anything for granted. And I'm, you know, to a lot of young kids that write to me and say, hey, like, how do you make it in this business? What did you do? Like, you know, can you help me and all that? Like, yes, I can help you. And sure, you know, I'll listen to you and I'll give you advice, but that my advice is going to, you know, I've been through different obstacles and they're going to have other ones to go through. My one thing is just say it true to yourself. Whatever resonates with you, it makes you feel excited, go with that, because that's your calling, you know, not what somebody else is excited about. Because, you know, someone can say, I can make you a star, but like, I think you can make yourself a star. You know what I mean? If you, you know, truly believe. And I wish I knew this a long time ago when I was much younger, you know. But, you know, I've had, you know, I had a lot of success with a pop single in the beginning. And then my career, being able to work with all these legends I have, that's been a blessing, you know. And now going back to, you know, what I love and getting opportunities to do different things. And right now I'm working on a few different projects, which is very exciting and very cool. And yeah, it's wonderful. I'm just taking, you know, a moment now to really reflect and know, like, this has been a very interesting start to the year for me personally, and reflecting and just, you know, putting out music that feels right. So yeah.
The new single, First Time Blues, is out. You can get it on all streaming platforms by Orianthe and Joe Bonamassa. Orianthe, thank you very much for the time. Thank you for your reflection. And I really appreciate the conversation.
Hey, thank you so much for your support, and see you again in Chicago. See you soon.
Absolutely. You can count on it. So I'm Jay Scott. This has been another episode of the Hook Rocks, the Ultimate Rock and Me Podcast. Take care of each other. Stay safe. You'll catch all of Orianthe's links in the show notes. So when you're listening to the episode, when you're done, click on all those links, and it'll lead you all to her social media pages and her website. But take care of each other out there, and we will talk soon. Thank you very much.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.